Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a federal judge says the U.S. Justice Department doesn't have to return Fulton County ballots seized in a January raid. A two-mile stretch of I-285 will be closed this weekend, and President Donald Trump reiterates his endorsement of Burt Jones for governor.
He's just an incredible guy who has my complete and total endorsement in the race. There's a lot of confusion. Everyone's saying I endorsed them. I didn't. I endorsed a man named Burt Jones.
Today is Thursday, May 7th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. U.S. District Judge J.P. Boulay for Georgia's Northern District ruled yesterday that the federal government does not have to return the 2020 ballots seized in a January raid on a Fulton County elections warehouse. Gauri Ramachandran is the Director of Elections and Security at the nonpartisan Brennan Center for Justice. She says Fulton County lost because their case did not meet a strict standard, not because of any electoral wrongdoing.
This decision doesn't mean that there's a there in terms of the investigation. Instead, the judge really focused on the fact that the legal standard, he said, is that there had to be a callous disregard for the constitutional rights of somebody, of the county or maybe potentially the voters.
Fulton County Board of Commissioners Chairman Rob Pitts disagreed with the ruling, saying, quote, "We intend to vigorously pursue all available legal options." The Highway 82 wildfire near the Brantley and Camden County line is now 85% contained after scorching just over 22,000 acres in southeast Georgia. At the Camden County Board of Commissioners meeting Tuesday night, Emergency Management Director Chuck White described the multi-agency response as one of the most complex wildfire operations in Georgia history.
While Georgia has experienced large wildfires, right, we've got nothing this impactful that we can think historically as, hey, yeah, we've done this before. The governor was in there three times, and that should tell you a lot.
Earlier this week, Brantley County officials announced a return to business as usual, lifting evacuation orders and ending the curfew. White says counties across southeast Georgia are now expected to review what worked and what didn't through a formal after-action process as wildfire season continues. An unusual full interstate closure west of Atlanta this weekend is expected to create traffic bottlenecks far beyond the immediate area. The Georgia Department of Transportation is closing a two-mile stretch of Interstate 285 from Cascade Road to Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. Traffic will be diverted downtown. Traffic guru Mark McKay watches the roads for Atlanta Talk Radio, WSB.
DOT shutting down the entire stretch north and southbound starting Friday night at 7 o'clock, running 24 hours through the weekend until Monday morning at 5. Now, a lot of this will be weather contingent. If there's any weather, they may break it down earlier. It's one of those things we have to monitor pretty closely, but it has the potential to be a real traffic nightmare, not only for the west side perimeter commuters, but for any drivers trying to get into and through the city. We will have round-the-clock coverage on 95.5 WSB. Our triple team traffic coverage is 24/7 anyway.
The shutdown is part of a larger 285 upgrade. It comes on a weekend of college commencements, sporting events, and Mother's Day travel. The U.S. Army is reducing its medical services at Fort Gordon near Augusta. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more on the administration's plans for Eisenhower Army Medical Center.
The Federal Defense Health Agency confirmed it plans to close the medical center's 60 inpatient beds and shift to ambulatory care. Operating rooms and the residential treatment center will stay open, while the emergency room will become an urgent care. The DHA has not outlined a timeline for the plans. Longtime Augusta resident and State House candidate Karen Gordon says she's worried about how the care for her husband and other active duty service members, retirees, and their families will be managed.
With taking that outside of the base, there's some concern about that. You know, how are we handling record keeping? Will those records transfer? That's one of the concerns in my family.
The medical center had recently cited staffing shortages as a reason for diverting care. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
An Atlanta-based federal appeals court has rejected a no-bond policy implemented by the Trump administration for people in immigration proceedings. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued the 2-1 ruling yesterday. The decision deepens a divide among federal appeals courts on whether people can be kept in detention while their cases are pending. The Second Circuit reached a similar conclusion in April, while the Eighth and Fifth Circuits upheld the policy, and the Seventh Circuit deadlocked. The policy denies bond hearings to people in immigration detention, including those with no criminal history. The 11th Circuit ruling states that the government cannot detain every person here without documentation without bond. With the circuit split deepening, the U.S. Supreme Court could be called upon to resolve the issue. The Georgia Department of Public Health is continuing to monitor two residents exposed to hantavirus aboard a cruise ship. An infectious disease expert in Georgia says while spread of the sometimes deadly virus is unlikely, the couple might have to isolate for several weeks. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Experts with the World Health Organization believe deaths from hantavirus on a cruise ship came from a country where the disease is endemic. The rare strain is the only one known to cross from human to human. Jody Guest is an epidemiologist with Emory University.
And the WHO is doing the surveillance tracking backwards to see where they were, but it's believed that they were on a bird watching expedition prior to getting on the cruise ship, and that they likely picked it up there in Argentina.
Guest says the WHO is leading the international investigation, which is why American membership is crucial to public health. The U.S. officially withdrew from the WHO in January. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
President Donald Trump sought to clarify his support this week for Burt Jones in his race for Georgia governor. On the brief call, Trump emphasized that Jones, the current lieutenant governor, is the only candidate with his full support.
He's just an incredible guy who has my complete and total endorsement in the race. There's a lot of confusion. Everyone's saying I endorsed him. I didn't. I endorsed a man named Burt Jones.
Republican candidate Rick Jackson also has promised to be loyal to Trump if elected. Jackson and Jones are the front runners for the Republican primary and have spent millions of dollars on attack ads against each other. Early voting in the May 19th primary election is already underway. Nearly 1,000 Habitat for Humanity volunteers are in Atlanta this week for the Jimmy and Rosalind Carter Work Project. Crews have just 5 days to build 24 affordable homes and townhouses. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the Work Project and its first return to Atlanta since 1988. GPB's Amanda Andrews takes us to the work site.
It's a Monday afternoon in southwest Atlanta's Sylvan Hills neighborhood. The sky is clear, there's a slight breeze, and the sounds of power tools fill the air.
So all the noise you hear behind me, those are volunteers swinging hammers, raising walls, painting.
That's Rosalind Merrick, the CEO of Atlanta Habitat for Humanity. She's part of the sea of volunteers in matching blue hard hats building Langston Park, a community of 24 houses and townhomes. Merrick says this project is almost a decade in the making.
For a long time, this land sat as an overgrown forest, and there was a concrete slab from a previous factory that became a skate park. And while that was great for the time that it was here, now it gets to be this beautiful, vibrant community for ultimately 64 families as we build here for the next couple of years.
Let's give them a hand getting this next project.
Creating affordable housing has become a priority for Atlanta leaders, but it wasn't always like that. Jimmy Carter and Habitat started the Work Project in 1984 to address the rising cost of housing. Since then,
over 4,500 families have been served overall by the Carter Work Project. So we were super excited to see it come back here to Atlanta.
Alan and Lynn Merrill got their start as Atlanta Habitat volunteers in the first Atlanta Work Project in 1988. Alan says things weren't as polished back then.
You know, there's a tent that will allow us to feed 900 people a hot meal instead of a bag lunch, which is probably what we had in 1988.
Yeah, what the church ladies made for all the volunteers all those years ago.
Back when Jimmy and Rosalind Carter were still on site to help build the houses, Alan Merrick worked alongside them. He says it was more than a photo opportunity.
Yeah. And the Carters didn't do it for show. They came to work. So typically, with the press, they would say, okay, we'll give you a few minutes at the beginning of the day to get your photos, but from then on, we're working. We've got things to do. We've got a house to build.
Alan took that message to heart. He ultimately quit his corporate job and trained to be a lead carpenter. He says building a house is fun, but meeting the families is a blessing.
Round seven.
Families like Tammy and Kyrie Redding. Kyrie says she was inspired when her mom, Tammy, purchased an Atlanta Habitat home in 2022.
So watching my mom go through the process kind of helped me figure out like what exactly I needed to do on my end to make sure I was ready when it was my turn, if I ever got a turn, and then I got a turn. So, yeah.
Homeowners are required to take classes on budgeting, home maintenance, and complete 250 sweat equity hours. Curie says she's looking forward to the next family get-together.
Yeah, I'm excited. We rotate houses every holiday.
Her mom, Tammy, is ready for Curie to host.
The next family gathering will be here.
Yes.
Now it's time for her to take the reins.
Yes. Come when you're invited.
When her house is done, Curie will be one of over 1,500 Atlantans owning a Habitat for Humanity home. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
A new report says Atlanta is faring better than other World Cup host cities when it comes to hotel bookings for the summer tournament. The American Hotel and Lodging Association said this week that about half of the Atlanta respondents to a recent survey reported bookings meeting or beating expectations. Nationwide, that number is only 20%. Chris Hardman is with the Georgia Hotel and Lodging Association.
In my personal opinion, and based off of anecdotal evidence, there is several things that Atlanta has to offer. First and foremost, we are home to the world's busiest airport at Hartsfield-Jackson. So it's easy access to both international and domestic travelers alike. We are a quick retreat away to any of the other host cities, a simple flight or a drive away to the other host cities. But more importantly, we're used to hosting these large sporting events. We're going to be one of only two cities to have ever hosted both the Olympics and the World Cup. We've hosted multiple Super Bowls, multiple national championships. We've hosted various global sporting events throughout our history as a city, and we are ready and prepared to be able to host the World Cup.
He says the average World Cup booking is currently just shy of three nights, but he expects that number to rise as FIFA releases more tickets. The Metro Atlanta chapter expects the tournament to have a $500 million economic impact. Georgia's tobacco producers have agreed to continue an assessment on their product to fund education, promotion, and research. The Georgia Department of Agriculture said this week that the 50 cents per 100 pounds assessment will continue for another 3 years. Georgia's tobacco harvest was valued at $28 million in 2024. That's according to the most recently published Farmgate report. In sports and baseball, the Braves have the day off today before heading to Los Angeles to face Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers for a three-game series. Yesterday, the Seattle Mariners beat Atlanta 3-1 to hand the Braves their first series loss of the season. Atlanta had won eight consecutive series. Chris Sale is scheduled to get the start for the Braves tomorrow. And that is a wrap on this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you come back tomorrow. Best way to remember to do that, of course, is to subscribe to this podcast. That way we will pop up automatically in your podcast feed. And remember to check gpb.org/news for updates to the stories you heard on the podcast today, as well as any new headlines. Our reporters are constantly posting new things there. If you have feedback on this podcast, let us know by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. That's also where you can send some news tips if you've got them. Again, georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow.